a diabetes breakthrough.
Which means at the end of the show, we throw in a joke and hope you get a big laugh out of that joke. We'll see. I worked hard on them. I worked with my nephew culling through hundreds of jokes that he has written or ripped off. So that tells you the level of the jokes. He's 10 years old. It is no joke, though, what's happening in Washington, which is a whole bunch of nothing right now. And the reason why, you guessed it, because everybody's worried about November, or I shouldn't say worried, but everybody is focused on November. How is that? So there's a little bit of trash talking. The trash talking on Thursday had to do with student loans and the president's ulterior motives. Is he using your money and my money to go out and campaign under the guise of spreading the word that student loans, the interest rates need to be low, 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 because who can afford to go to school and this is our future after all? John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, decided this was definitely a fight that he wanted to have. He's a proud Republican, and this was his chance to say these recent trips have been absolutely pathetic. Jay Carney, the White House mouthpiece, disagreed and made sure to pump that word out later in the day. This is what the politicians do for hours. Check it out.
Our country is facing some major economic and fiscal challenges. Yet here's the president wasting time on a fake fight to try to gain his own reelection. To travel to three battleground states and go to three large college campuses on taxpayers' money to try to make this a political issue is pathetic. And his campaign ought to be reimbursing the Treasury for the cost of this trip.
We are absolutely.
All right, so you heard John Boehner there. Jay Carney, I think, is in the wings, but maybe Boehner clicked him off there. And he's saying that, you know, absolutely, that this is not what was going on there. No way, no how. It's a whole bunch of nothing. And I think Jay Carney might be able to spit that out. Mr. Carney?
We are absolutely pleased that because the president has raised this issue, because he's taken it out to the country, because he's talked to students and others across the country about the need to ensure that these interest rates don't double. Republicans are now saying that they agree. Well, that's good.
So he says, yeah, finally they get on board with this. So is it fair or foul for the president to travel to three important states where he's able to hammer the Republicans on student loans on that issue, get a little political, and do a little reelecting, if you will, try to get reelected among the youth? Because, certainly we're paying for it. I think Boehner actually has a point here. As much as I want to say, oh, this is posturing on both sides, I think I'd have to say that because there really is a little bit of nothing here. I mean, it's, you know, so he got a little bit tough and criticized what was happening with the trips. But when I say there's a little bit of nothing, there's a little bit of nothing as far as transparency goes, because I do think that the travel where he hadn't gone before to go talk to students and talk about interest rates and that whole doubling thing is pretty convenient, let's say. Not that he couldn't talk about it. But the fact that he went to spots where he would be able to shake some hands and do some convincing, let's say. And maybe it's tricky. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm all wet on that. And, hey, when you're the leader of the free world, you got the plane. Air Force One will travel. And you can go talk to anyone you please when you want to talk to them about whatever issue it is. And it just happens to be that you're running for re-election. I don't buy it. I think it's convenient, but you may feel differently. Remember, you can always throw in your 2 cents on this show. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. I know everybody is getting used to a new number. I've heard the complaints, but it's actually a very good number, and you'll get used to it. Trust me. I know it's like when you move somewhere and you change phone numbers, and at first you dread it. You know, you can't, you know, I'm used to 856. I can't get used to a new number. But you do, and this number's great. It's better than the old number that we had for 4 years. So it's a brand new day. We will post the number all over the place. You will, trust me, you will start to remember it. So the number, speaking of the number that the Republicans say they're shooting for, they're gunning for when it comes to getting Mitt Romney elected, because he is officially the guy. I mean, we can talk about a bunch of nonsense that, oh, he's the presumptive nominee and somebody else is going to come up, because Gingrich's campaign is over with. He's done. He's officially leaving. And Ron Paul, as much as a lot of people like him, he's not in this at all. He doesn't have any delegates to speak of, unless he does a third-party thing and throws a real curveball into the process, which he could. But he says he didn't want to do that. Remember, several times he's been asked about that, and he said no, no, no every single time. So the number that the Republicans want to come up with is $800 million. $800 million to run against an incumbent president. Wow. Does that not seem like a whole bunch of dough? Somebody's making some money, and it's probably television ads. That's mostly where a lot of that would be spent in campaigning as it gets closer to November and right on the heels of the Republican convention, just try to attack ads on Obama and vice versa. In fact, some of those are already starting to come across the screen. Since we're on the money thing here for a second, and coming up later, we're going to do a week in count. So these stories obviously eliminated, but the donations are really pouring in. We were wondering about that for the George Zimmerman defense. Remember, he put up the website, thanked his friends for supporting him, and apparently he's gotten a bunch of money from the site, but then also away from the site. You know, people have sent money in, close to $200,000 from people not just in his neighborhood, but people across the country who would send, you know, $25, $50, $75 here or there. How about that? Is anyone surprised by that? Remember, he's out on bail as of Monday and is now in hiding somewhere because his attorney, Mark O'Mara, said it wasn't safe for him to be in Sanford or be anywhere near Orlando or even be in Florida. So it's anybody's guess as to where he is as this whole thing unfolds, the jury selection, the whole case, all that stuff. I mean, this is going to probably take some time. But I'd say in a short amount of time, that's interesting that he's been able to come up with a defense fund like that. Coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to talk about voter ID laws, one that went down in Texas with Horace Cooper, who wrote an interesting paper on it. He's a legal commentator. You're going to love this guy. He pulls no punches, takes no prisoners. Next.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com. promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. Well, we've been talking about this a lot, the voter ID law in Texas and some other states. And, of course, the Attorney General Eric Holder with the decision to block the implementation of that Texas new voter ID law. And we are very pleased to welcome to the show from the National Center for Public Policy Research Adjunct Fellow, Horace Cooper joins us now. He just released a paper talking all about this and the Attorney General and why the Attorney General was wrong to block the voter ID law. Horace, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Thanks for having me on your program. I have to tell you, it's a pretty important an issue. A lot of people haven't been paying attention. It's sort of a sleeper issue, but this voter integrity issue is probably going to be one of the biggest issues that we're going to have to deal with as a nation. And we do it state by state, but it's fundamentally going to answer the question, are we going to have a system of self-government where legitimate, lawful citizens of the United States decide who our representatives are and what our policies are going to be, or will we let ghost voters, fake ballots, convicts and illegal immigrants come in, dilute, steal, and divert our policies and determine who our representatives are going to be.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly in talking about that. And, you know, some people will say, oh, well, that, you know, it's discrimination, the whole ID thing, and why should you have to have an ID? And it's ridiculous. I think it's just a ridiculous argument that doesn't have much merit, and there's not a lot backing that. You just gave us some of the reasons why. The ghost voters, looking at the rolls and seeing that you've got criminals on the rolls and all this other sort of stuff. I mean, doesn't it make sense to have that ID?
Well, exactly. You know, and the state of Virginia, the Richmond Times-Dispatch just ran a story shortly after the state legislature voted on a voter ID rule showing a astonishing number, nearly 800 different instances of election violations, and one of the biggest involved a group recruiting newly released convicts, people who were just let go from prison, and they signed them up, the goal being to have them register in strategic districts so that they can influence the vote. This is not an accident. This was intentional. In the state of Colorado, there were 5,000 people identified who were illegal immigrants and who were told that if they simply came and registered and participated in the vote, that they would either be given an opportunity for a job or some other kind of compensation. We are seeing instance after instance after instance where people are manipulating the election process. So rather than you and your listeners, who are lawful citizens, getting to decide who our representatives are going to be, others who don't have that right are deciding it for us.
Yeah, so I so much agree with that. And you talk about Eric Holder and the Justice Department, and in your paper you talk about this. You say they're pushing a political agenda that promotes, and you mentioned this, lawlessness and racial division. Talk about that a little bit, pushing the racial division.
Well, this is one of the reasons that I was so troubled about, and I had to prepare this document. The state of Texas passed a law similar to the one that Virginia has just passed, and the state of Texas was told by the Department of Justice that they would not be allowed to enforce this requirement and that it was somehow discriminatory against people who have a Spanish surname. The issue is, and many of your listeners may know this, I can just tell you one name, George Zimmerman. We cannot tell whether someone is Anglo, whether they are Latino, Asian, Black, whatever they may be, by their name. The courts don't use this. Census doesn't use this technique. The Department of Justice officially insisted that the state of Texas collate all so-called Spanish-sounding surnames and then said how many of those people have a driver's license, and that was the basis of their decision in saying there was a 2% difference between people with a Spanish-sounding surname and people without in terms of their percentage of holding ID. This was not done on the merits. This is the kind of statistical shenanigans that allow them to push a political agenda. And it is a political agenda that is more interested in a partisan outcome than it is in fidelity to the law. And that kind of partisanship and that kind of willingness to kick the law to the curb divides us, and it divides us in many instances along racial lines. They often try to pretend that rules that apply to all of us are somehow targeting Blacks, or targeting Latinos, or targeting women, when in fact none of that is true, and yet just the opposite is the case, that the laws apply to all of us. It's extremely important that every eligible citizen's vote actually count, and systems that allow ghost voters, convicts, people that fake ballots and use those to manipulate votes instead, those are undermining our fundamental right of self-government.
Do you think, Horace, that this also dissuades people from voting and we have low voter turnout because people say, oh, it's rigged anyway. Are you reading? Are you seeing what's happening? And they just get discouraged and feel like the elections are anything but wide open.
Well, they're not actually being cynical when they think of that because increasingly there are areas where this is happening.
Yeah.
Where your vote actually isn't getting to be the decider, and you're right. We ought to be invested in the outcome, and we ought to care, but it sends the wrong signal. You know, if you were watching what was going on in the presidential elections in Russia just last month, they had a record turnout, but it didn't matter. The election was preordained. We cannot run the risk that our elections for governor, for senator, even for president are not going to be decided by citizens, but instead by unlawful manipulation of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think happens with now with Texas appealing the decision to that three-judge panel in D.C.?
Well, this is the part that I also wanted to emphasize about the paper. They are wrong on the law. In fact, they're not allowed to use the kind of statistical analysis that they brought forward. And secondly, the Supreme Court, in a case called Indiana v. Crawford, 4 years ago, already answered this question, are you allowed constitutionally to require ID? And they said, yes, you are. So for the Department of Justice to pretend that they don't remember that case came down is tantamount to them saying this. You are going to ultimately be able to make us comply with the law. We're the Justice Department. We're going to ultimately have to, but we're going to delay it as long as we can. That is not supposed to be the role of the Department of Justice. They know what the law is. They should be adhering to the law. They should not be manipulating the law. They should not be delaying enforcement of the law. And I predict that this is either going to go to the Fifth Circuit of Appeals and be overturned, and Texas will be allowed, or it will have to go to the Supreme Court, and it will be an even broader. It won't be a 5-4 decision. I predict this will be a 6-3 or 7-2 decision saying justice should never have held this back. The Supreme Court has already spoken on this, and most of the lower courts have already spoken about the shoddy statistical analysis that they tried to employ in this case.
Yeah, I agree with you. But Horace, as you and I both know, with the time crunch that we're in, and depending on what happens, as you said, Fifth Circuit goes there, this can all be backlogged and doesn't go to the Supreme Court until after the election.
I think that's exactly what the Justice Department is betting on, that they won't get a ruling until after the election. That's lawlessness. That is dangerous. The Attorney General has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, and these kinds of shenanigans and games are the exact opposite of that. This is very troubling when I see this kind of behavior.
Yeah, and you're right. And you know, you say it right in the beginning of the paper, you know, titled, Why is the Department of Justice Blocking Voter ID? That's what you got to ask yourself. Comes down to that.
There is no... The court has already answered this question for them, crystal clear. And there's another stat. In the 13 cases in the last year that have been prosecuted across the country, in the 13 separate instances involving tens of thousands of voter harvesting, there's been only one of them in which the person convicted was a Republican.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook Anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with the Fuel Saver from AirFusionSystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The Fuel Saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at AirFusionSystems.com, spelled AirFusion Systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981. 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from AirFusionSystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Your ticker doing, America? Kate Delaney, America tonight. It's important. Blood pressure is important. I know, because there's half of the Delaney clan I never got to meet. Several of them died of heart attacks, including my grandfather, Gerard, who I heard was a pretty cool dude. I never had the chance to know him. He dropped dead by the time he was 30. He was no longer on this planet. Extendovite. We're going to start talking about that next week, because I've got a big, big sit-down or powwow with Don on how he started the product, why he started the product, all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm always skeptical about things, but I love it because of what happened on one side of my family. And so many women now, people don't realize this because you just always think of men, but so many women are having heart attacks. And I saw an incredible improvement on my blood pressure. I had no idea. I did what maybe some of you do. You know, you're bored, you're waiting for your significant other to get their prescription or look at 10,000 motor magazines, and you see the little, at CVS or wherever, you see the little blood pressure thing, and then you take it and you think, what are those numbers? Let me do that again. And I put another, you know, 50 cents in the machine. And I was surprised what they were. I was surprised. And it's amazing, after maybe 6 weeks of taking it, what dramatic results I've seen. Because I don't know about you, but I just cannot imagine being cut open and having them trying to rescue surgeons my heart, or going through what some people I know have gone through when they've had their chest cracked open. And they're lucky they survived. And then the whole saga, I mean, it's like you hear about Dick Cheney walking around with the heart transplant and all the things that has happened to him over the years with the heart. And I really hope I don't go there. And boy, that has made such a huge difference. So that heart that you hear sounds pretty good. You might be able to get the same results. Trust me, just do me a favor. When you wander into one of those places, you're bored out of your skull, take that blood pressure and you'll see. Maybe you have good blood pressure, good numbers. But I bet there's a lot of people who have no idea what their numbers are. Mine used to actually even be low. I can remember going to the dentist. Do any of you have this experience? And now at the dentist, maybe they're afraid that people are going to have heart attacks. So they take your blood pressure, and originally they could not find mine. It was like, are you really alive? Because it was so low, so low. So that's next week. A couple of really cool things happening next week, including the launch of an app right here on America Tonight. Ways to get the show, the contest, and to remember the number. Easy ways to call in when you download it for free. Because people are having such a hard time with this, I don't get it. But as I say that, I mangle numbers all the time. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. The photos of the death of bin Laden, the commandos, the Navy SEALs coming in to save the day in Abbottabad. So many people want to see them. So many people want to see the photos for various reasons. And the photos will not be released. A judge denied the request through the Freedom of Information Act. Judicial Watch filed all those papers. The judge denied the request to see any of the bin Laden photos on the basis of national security. Or job preservation is what I was thinking when I heard that. I'm not going to be the guy that releases those photos. So I don't know. I think a few of those photos would have been worth circulating and seeing. We certainly have seen horrible shots of many, many other things. And immediately, and I just can't help myself, immediately where my head went when I read about what the judge said, and when I knew this was coming up, but I thought this would be the ruling, but in my mind, I can remember being in New York and working in New York. I can remember the atrocities that occurred. The people who had to make decisions whether to jump and die that way, jump out of one of the top floors or burn to death. And then all the people, the terrible, terrible shots, the thud, the things that you saw on video that were just unbelievable. And so if you were a kid who never saw their father, now you're a teenager, if you are one of the widows, if you are one of the many family members who's carrying around, you know, speaking of the heart, still kind of a little ice around that heart because it's so hard to forget. And, you know, life goes on, but the person that you cared about just immediately was sucked away from you because of a terrorist act. I think some photos would have been worth circulating. And Judicial Watch was smart to do that. They probably knew that this was what the result was going to be. So I'm wondering if you feel the same way. Does it serve no purpose? I mean, listen, the judge has a different view, obviously, and I think it is partly self-preservation because that judge was not going to do that. But should we have been able to see them? Would it have served a purpose to be able to see them versus not seeing them? Hearing, oh, they're so atrocious and it's just, we don't want to release them because of what the repercussions could be in America for Americans as we incite the violence, as we incite the, you know, invite violence and more of that back on our shores, to which I say that's, they're just being punks. Because if that threat already exists, which we hear constantly from Janet Napolitano, then what's different with the photos? I mean, look what's happened now in Afghanistan, and look at the riots that they had after the one incident. So I'm going to say, I don't buy that. I buy self-preservation is really what the whole deal was with that. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. There was something else that happened in a courtroom that we just can't help here on the show, but, yeah, rubberneck a little bit. And the reason why is because the kind of people that I would put in my dungeon that we sometimes roll out are the kind of people, if somebody is smug and arrogant and that's who they are, that's one thing. If somebody is smug, arrogant, and just an all-around kind of guy that accuses everybody else of not helping the poor and of doing things behind the nation's back that they shouldn't be doing, and they're calling everybody out here and there, I'm going to say I would take a little bit of, I would get a little bit of a jolt out of that person coming down. Because of all the things, you know, it's like that magazine, I think it's Vanity Fair, one of them, who knows what it is, where they ask the question, what is the thing that you most deplore in women? What is the thing you most deplore in men? And I most deplore smug arrogance. And John Edwards is that guy. So now his attorneys are questioning the credibility of the former aide, Andrew Young, who worked for John Edwards while he was running for president. And, you know, this is the aide who has spent now 4 days on the stand detailing how John Edwards went to huge, great lengths to cover up his affair and love child. And I got to say, I believe this Andrew Young. I mean, come on. Nearly $1 million from campaign supporters, that cash went to, you know, went into a whole bunch of things. And it was all about buying the silence of the pregnant mistress. They're saying that it didn't, that it went for went to build other things. And so as he was being peppered with questions, Andrew Young, Edwards' attorney, talked about the money from the two donors and said it didn't go into the personal accounts, or it went into the personal accounts of Young and his wife. And it had nothing to do with John Edwards. And Young said he took secret payments from donors at Edwards' direction to help conceal the affair. And that was it. He said that the checks provided by an heiress and another guy went into renovations and construction of a $1.5 million hilltop house on 10 acres near Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And Young suggested his wife would know more about where the money went because she was the one who handled the finances in the family. Didn't you love that? So even the aide tries to shove it off onto his wife. You know, most guys, the whole chivalry thing, like even if that was true, like, ooh, I can't get my wife in the soup. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to take the stand. I'm going to say what happened and this is where the money went and this is what I saw, and this was the cover-up, but I'm not going to throw my wife under the bus. I'm not going to say, well, she knows specifically where every dime went because she was controlling all of it. And that's essentially what he did there. So, you know, right now, and I'm sure we're going to hear crickets, call me if you think John Edwards is innocent of that. Bum, bum, bum. Nobody. Of course not. He says he didn't know about $725,000 in checks. He said he had no clue. He didn't know any of the stuff. He didn't know any of that was flying around, that it had nothing to do with him. And, you know, here's the thing. He's got the best lawyers money can buy, and, you know, maybe there's a chance that John Edwards walks from this because they have to have evidence. It's he said thing in the timeline deal, and that's where it's going to get very, very tricky as to whether or not they can nail him on campaign finance fraud. He's pled not guilty to 6 counts of that, and he could face up to 30 years in prison, $1.5 million fines if convicted. And he wanted to take his chances. He wanted to go into court feeling that he could clear his name, really clear his name. Jeez, I don't know. All right, coming up next, we're clearing the decks. We can count. Thank you. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in. That's almost one per block. Will that one home be yours? Well, I found an amazing little gadget to keep the bad guys fooled, and it's called Fake TV. Fake TV is a low-cost, small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV. When you go on summer vacation, yes, get rid of the obvious signs you're away by stopping the mail and the paper, but go a step further in fooling crooks with Fake TV. At only $34.95, what? That can't be right. Yes, for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked and all your possessions gone. Fake TV simulates the light from a real TV and can be programmed just like a lamp on a timer. Use Fake TV in any room for just $34.95 and get additional Fake TVs for only $29.95. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV, 877-5-FAKE-TV, or go to FakeTV.com. For safety, security, and peace of mind, use Fake TV.
If you're not prepared, get preparedexpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. Get preparedexpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Over $200,000 in exhibitor giveaways. 1,000 packets of heirloom seeds. 1,000 one-year subscriptions to Global Incident Map. 1,000 trial issues of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster. 25 vials of Dr. Sheely's Bliss. 10 Sigma 3 5-day survival courses. Autographed books by James Wesley Rawls, Matt Stein, Julia Shoppe, and Dr. Sheely, and plenty more. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Go to GetPreparedExpo.com. One day passes $10 at the door. Advanced weekend passes $15. At GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Yes, it means it's time for another edition of We Can Count. By now, all of you are used to it. In fact, somebody asked me, where does that come from? And the answer is, I cannot reveal all of our secrets here on America Tonight. There has to be some sleight of hand. So, topping things off, sadly, this is a terrible story, but 22-year-old Jill Soderberg died in her house in the tiny town of Timrå, which is about 240 miles north of Stockholm, and it happened back in January a year ago. But the reason we're telling you the story is because it's a cautionary tale. Shortly after she placed her third and last call to SOS Alarm Emergency Services requesting an ambulance, that's when she died. And the Swedish health people have been getting bombarded, criticized over her death because she called those emergency services so many times and she was ignored because she was still able to talk. And she was saying that you know, I can't breathe. She was having chest pains. I want you to come and help me. And the operator didn't think, you know, hey, she's communicating, and decided she didn't need an ambulance. So the logic behind, what was the logic behind refusing someone an ambulance because they were able to speak? That's ridiculous. Now, sadly, sometimes people are able to speak, and, you know, we saw this happen after 9/11. There were some people who were, in fact, reports of like two or three people who were walking in the street, and they had, you know, maybe a little blood on their face, and they looked like a little lost. And then what had happened is they got creamed by steps or whatever, and somehow they bounced back and were able to walk down the street, but then, boom, barely make it to an ambulance, die on the spot. But they're talking, and anyone else who passed them, they seemed like they were banged up, but they were okay, but they weren't okay. And we know with concussions and things with the brain, that can happen. So that's, boy, that's pretty awful that happened, that they didn't just go out there and check it out and just assume. See, that's that whole thing about assumptions, because you think one thing, but really you have no idea, because the operator isn't there on site and really truly can't say, other than just the conversations on the phone. You could hear through the transcripts, you could see through the transcripts that there was a big, big, big problem. All right, no secret here. Andrew Luck, the quarterback out of Stanford, was drafted by Indianapolis. Of course, they booted Peyton Manning, and he was number one in the draft. We knew this was happening because they took the drama out of the whole event by saying before the official draft that he was going to be the guy they picked. That, you know, that was the speculation anyway. So just 6 weeks after they booted Manning, they got a new quarterback, a young quarterback, Luck. And what a tough act to follow for him. Ooh, you think of Manning and the four MVP awards, the Super Bowl for Indy. And the kid's got good stuff, but replacing a legendary guy, ooh, that is tough. More power to him. Good luck with that. I think that's some pretty tough shoes to fill. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll grow into the role, but that's the thing. I think he'll grow into it. Out of the gate, making the transition from college to the pros, he gets the shot right away, and he'll get it. He'll get that shot right away, but ooh, that's kind of tough. George Zimmerman raised $200,000 from web donations. A couple of things have come out now in the last day, that also that Zimmerman, why was he traveling with the gun? And of course you can carry a gun in Florida, but the reason he specifically is saying that he had one on hand is to protect himself from a pit bull. The other story, though, the other thing connected to this is the $200,000. He had a pretty big haul for a very high profile, murder defendant in Florida. And that's for his legal defense. Mark O'Mara said he learned about the money on Wednesday, and he's going to inform a judge at a Friday hearing. You know the story by now, I'm certain. Zimmerman charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. And he claims he shot him in self-defense with the Stand Your Ground law. And we'll see how that all plays out in court. But the website used to raise the money, though, has been shut down. And they're going to start a new defense fund for Zimmerman. That's what his attorney is saying. The website, by the way, was therealgeorgezimmerman.com. They put it out there April 10th. It was more like a soapbox kind of thing for him to give his side of the story. And then it became a fundraising tool. He took major credit cards and communicated to supporters and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, is anyone surprised that he raised that much money? Was anyone surprised at all by that? And I'd say, based on even what we've heard on this show, such a mixed bag of whether people thought he should even be in this situation because of the law in Florida and because of how things supposedly unfolded. And, you know, and we're a far cry away from, I think, hearing all sides of that. And all kinds of misinformation came out and all kinds of stuff as a result of Trayvon Martin's death at the end of February and George Zimmerman shooting him and killing him. But that is pretty big cash, pretty big cash. Speaking of big cash, Michelle Obama in Spain. And now here's the thing with money that's being spent, especially we're in these deficit times with the government. Everybody wants to know how much money, where's that money coming from? And the First Lady's trip, but this was back in 2010. Boy, that was a banner year for the government, wasn't it? You had those fools in the one government agency who went to Las Vegas and spent almost $1 million. Well, the First Lady's trip cost not even anywhere near that, but cost almost $500,000. And the reason is the Judicial Watch filed a Freedom of Information Act, and they got the documents, and they show that that's what it cost. If you remember the trips that she took, and the Pentagon estimates the flight costs were like $199,000, and they mostly went toward the flight from the U.S. to Mallorca and back, and then there were a whole bunch of other expenses for the 15-person flight crew, and the motel was like $10,000 or, whatever. Because she's the First Lady, so you got to have all kinds of people around the First Lady, Secret Service, all of that, and it's going to cost some money. It's going to cost some money, definitely, but is it fair or foul? And that's why Judicial Watch wanted to make sure everybody knew, man, you got the General Services Administration, that craziness there, and then you got this. How much money were we, how much dough were we blowing through? How much? The Senate voted the other day to, I think, reform the Postal Service, but save it from bankruptcy. And the overhaul by averting bankruptcy gives it a little bit of a cash infusion, speaking of coming up with the dough, and delays decisions on closing post offices and ending Saturday delivery. So that's not going to happen right now. The bill, we talked about the total the other day, but I'll give you the number again. 6237 is how it passed. And under the measure, the Postal Service would get $11 billion refund of overpayments made to a federal fund to pay down debt and finance buyouts to the 100,000 postal employees. And at the same time, it would halt the closing of more than 100 mail processing centers and, no shutdowns before the November elections. And it would protect the rural post offices for 1 year. So if you go to the post office and you notice that the person that's waiting on you, talking to you, whatever, or maybe just your friendly postman or woman, and you notice that they're in much better spirits, perhaps that could be the reason why, because that's been hanging over their heads that it's going to close and that some of the offices are going to close and they've worked for however long there. And, you could see it. I certainly could see it in the post office by my house, that there were some of the people that were there that just were dragging. And because every day for a long time, for a couple of months, that was heavy. Every day there would be something about what was going to close down and would they survive. And even they would say that when you go up and ask for stamps or whatever. I had a lot of the people that talked to me say that they were worried that the post office was going to close, and then what were they going to do? All right, we have another cheesy exit line. This is from Owen. Knock, knock. You'd say, who's there? Aries. Aries who? Aries the reason why I talk this way. I try.